That was effective.
You have that effect on people.
I know.
U.S. Bank over there on the east side.
It did, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Fire
yeah, snapped on. Possibly. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to City Hall, where three quarters of the lights work. It seems dark out there, doesn't it?
Oh. It's just because it's...
Tonight's regularly scheduled council meeting, but preceding the council meeting, we do have a special committee of the whole meeting. Let the record show that all the aldermen, save for Alderman Bruno, are present this evening. We will kick off our special committee of the whole meeting. Let's see here. We have I know, but I want to make sure I have my cheat sheets. Is it okay we refer to you as Officer O'Cray? English major, were you? Miss O'Cray, please join us at the podium, if you would be so kind. This young lady is our newest police officer for the city of Geneva. McKenna O'Cray. Good Italian name. Now, Miss O'Cray, I have been provided some information about you, courtesy of Commander Nash.
It's all false.
Is it?
I really? Just made it up.
Yeah, so you never graduated eighth grade?
Nope.
Good Lord. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you are being televised. Do you know that? You are on live television. The cameras are above here to my left, and there's one directly behind you as well. This is being broadcast throughout the community on Channel 10, Comcast, and Channel 99, AT&T.
Okay.
It's also broadcast worldwide.
Bye.
Please, no waving. This is very serious work. Okay. This is the best choice, Commander. Miss O'Cray, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
What do you want to know? I
detective
am...
already.
wasn't prepared for this.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little bit of kind of everywhere. I actually grew up in Elmhurst until my sophomore year of high school, and then we moved to Northbrook. So I did 2 years at York Community College and then 2 years at Glenbrook North.
Awesome.
I went to Oakton Community College for my associate's degree in law enforcement, and I'm currently enrolled at Post University to get my bachelor's in criminal justice.
No kidding. Now, it says here you're general manager at a hotel.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Up until Friday.
Just up
until Friday, my last day.
Were you asked to leave?
I was asked to leave.
Were you? Staybridge Suites Hotel in Glenview.
Yeah.
That's North Shore, man.
It is.
That's good living.
It is very nice.
Yeah. That's a tough life, though, isn't it? I mean, you're on call all the time as the general manager.
Yeah.
It's like 9 to 5. Yeah. I mean, look at Nash just phones it in. It's unbelievable. Outdoor activities. You enjoy camping and kayaking.
Yes.
Where do you kayak?
We like to go up to like northern Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, like Minocqua?
Never been to Minocqua. Have I been to
this
Minocqua?
Is really a tough situation.
I have not.
Where exactly do you kayak up in northern Wisconsin? Like what town?
We go up to Apaca. We've done the Northern Woods.
Wow.
I don't know what town it's in, but we do Shotgun Eddies up way up north. They do whitewater rafting. So a little bit of everything.
See, Wisconsin has everything.
Wisconsin has everything. Could throw the kayak in on any river in Illinois.
Yeah, we have kayakers in the Fox. It's amazing.
We're doing that.
Let's see what else is interesting about you. Nothing. Oh, wait. Photography is one of your interests. Are you an amateur or professional photographer?
Amateur.
Do you have works that you've shown? And
I haven't shown anything since high school, but I was in a lot of art shows in high school.
Black and white or color?
I prefer black and white film.
You do? What kind of camera?
I have a Canon, but I actually like Nikons better.
Do you?
Yeah.
We're actually voting on a Nikon contract tonight, so this works out well.
Oh, perfect. Go with it.
Awesome. It's the red light cameras. I'm just kidding. So, what's your middle name, Courtney? No, correction. What's your middle name, McKenna?
Hers is Nicole. Mine is Charlene.
Charlene. Is that a family name?
It's my great aunt's name.
Your great aunt. And you've got a support group with you tonight.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Do you want to introduce everyone? That's Courtney.
My sister, Courtney. Mom, Lisa O'Cray. Raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
Show the world. And my friend, Kelly. And former coworker.
And you get a bunch more coming in.
And the ditties.
And the ditties?
Ditties. Cavatellis.
Oh, look at that.
They stood up for the occasion.
Wow, welcome. We just rescinded her offer, so great timing. So why did you want to be a police officer?
I think it's a little bit of a combination of things. My mom's an officer, so I kind of grew up in that. When I was in college, I kind of was leaning towards art and photography, and I was told to take a few law classes and fell in love with it.
No kidding.
So,
wow.
Heard it.
May I ask, Mom, you're an officer where?
I work for Glenview full-time and Elmhurst part-time. Well,
that's really cool.
With the ditty.
This ditty stuff is very confusing. Is that the name, the family name? Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Got it. So, police officer in Geneva is the best place to be.
I think so.
That's awesome. And how was the interview process? Pretty intense?
Scary.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was good.
That's cool. What do you know about Geneva that you want to share with us?
Oh, you're quizzing me? I actually didn't know too much about Geneva when I had actually initially applied. I had come down here a few times with my friends, with my family. I've seen St. Charles. I've seen kind of just like the local area.
Sure.
It's a nice, quaint, quiet town. It's gorgeous. It's got a very family-oriented feel to it, which I like. It's small, but not too small.
Right.
You guys have a lot of great restaurants and family activities, and it's a great area to raise a family. Not that I have one yet or I'm close to thinking about it.
Understood. So this will, Miss O'Cray will become our 36th sworn police officer.
It's a good number.
That is a good number. Is that your lucky number?
No. It is now.
Yeah, it is now.
So,
is it officer or is it detective or sergeant?
Officer.
Officer. What's your advice for your daughter who's now entering the field?
Become a fireman.
Well done.
Never gonna
must be so proud. Notice how there's no firefighters here tonight. Wow. Well, we're delighted to have you on board.
Thank you.
When do you hit the streets?
She is going to do administrative work next week with Ooh. Sergeant Meduzia.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And then she heads to the academy for 12 weeks at SALEA, Suburban Law Enforcement Academy in Glen Ellen, COD.
Yep.
And
COD,
then she
yeah.
comes back for 14 weeks of field training.
No kidding. And the field trainer will be Sergeant Meduzia?
Nope. She'll go through three officers.
Okay.
I believe Officer Yates, Officer Montgomery, and I don't remember who the other one is.
I can remember when Officer Yates joined us.
Yes, with his braces.
He had braces on.
Yeah?
He was in fourth grade. He was the cutest little officer. He was just adorable. Yeah. He was primarily stationed at the little carnival. God, I hope he doesn't watch this tomorrow for you. Well, we have the oath of office to administer to you, and our city clerk has the honor of doing so. If you would like anyone to join you, by all means, invite them to join you. It's up to...
up next to her, Andy?
Absolutely.
All right, hold my hand.
Yes,
of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go, the whole gang. That's awesome. What about the ditty?
I know, I invited him. <It's>
of the state of Illinois. duties of the position of police officer. According to the best of my ability. So help me God. Congratulations.
Do you have dinner plans this evening, or what time is dinner?
Whenever you cut us loose.
Well, I was going to encourage you, I'm sorry, the commander's signal you just to leave the building. But by all means, go enjoy dinner. Where are you having dinner tonight?
We're looking at that little owl place over there.
That little owl place, yes. That is the oldest continuous operating restaurant in Geneva.
Right. Oh, good choice.
Yep. Excellent choice. And tell John that we say hello over there. And put everything on the chief. Seriously. Just...
There you go. He's over here.
And just don't pay for the ditties. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for making me an empty nester.
Oh, congratulations.
Finally. Thank you.
So long, guys.
Thanks. Have a good night.
So long. Item 2B, ladies and gentlemen, Natural Resources Commission check presentation for tree purchase. Very exciting. I'm riveted by the whole thing, but I'm not certain who's representing the NRC tonight. Jay Womack, this guy is so popular. Nice article in the Chronicle, by the way, regarding your great speech at Western Avenue Elementary School. Jay was the keynote speaker at the Western Avenue Elementary School Community Garden last Friday. And a little bird at the garden told me that you have a very special birthday coming up soon.
Is the little bird named Jay?
Yes, it is. Looks just like him, matter of
fact. Well, good evening, everyone. It's been probably a few months since we've been back. I've got with me Bill Deckel and Carrie Carter from the Natural Resources Committee. And the last time we were here, we spoke about our commitment to want to help put trees back into our parkways and reverse the EAB curse. And so we've been doing some fundraising. As you know, we've been selling wine or rain barrels. We did. We have not been selling wine. I take that back.
Do you want us to edit that out?
We've done rain barrels on parade. We've had two fundraisers now called Wine, Cheese, and Trees. And it was interesting, when we first started selling rain barrels, we actually did our first rain barrels on parade, and we made about $5,000. And I remember, this was almost 5 years ago, yeah. I remember sitting with the committee and thinking and saying, what are we going to do with all this money? Well, one day, a couple years later, we got a phone call from a gentleman named Bill Deckel, who called the city and said, I am very intrigued with trees, and I want to work with someone. I think he was talking to Sherry Weidel. He said, I want to help out and be part of a group to put back trees to replace our ash that's being lost. And she said, well, you need to contact this guy named Jay Womack. He heads up our Natural Resources Committee. Well, Bill and I had already known each other professionally, and he called me and said I'd love to come in and talk about it. So he brought Greening Geneva Initiative to the NRC, and we immediately had a reason to raise money and do something additional above and beyond just a few of the minor things that we had been working on. So with that, it is with great pleasure, we've identified on 3rd Street up to 30 trees that we're going to plant. We awarded a contract. We went out to RFP. We're going to award a contract to George Kane Associates. We're meeting this Friday to walk 3rd Street to appoint exactly where the trees are going to go and which they're going to be. So we would like to present a check for $10,000 to the city of Geneva that we've raised to plant up to 30 trees. It's our first go-around. And we are so proud to have the members that we have and to be up here supporting what we set out to support. And that's what I love about our group. When we set out to do something, we do it. And I've got some great members behind me as a group in general. And we have fun, and we love what we do, and so we'd like to present this check to all of you for $10,000. It's our first salvo towards putting the trees back.
Fantastic.
So we'll be looking at upwards of 30 new trees up and down 3rd Street and on some of the side branch roads.
Sure.
And so we're going to walk this Friday and pinpoint exactly where they're going to go and which ones and start a new generation of trees.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
I'd like to get a photograph with as many of you as we possibly can.
Shot. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, please. So if we could take a moment.
You want us to all gather here? That'd be great.
Does someone have a camera?
They want us.
Counsel. I was quiet.
You. They specifically asked for you, Ron.
Yeah.
Jay, that's just incredible.
It's not. I mean, I like the kind
to all of you. That's just your passion's evident, and obviously it results in extraordinary things. So thank you very much.
Yep. Well, thanks to Bill Deckel for bringing this idea to us. So it's a group effort. There's seven of us now, eight of us.
It's amazing.
And we have a lot of fun. So and Wine, Cheese, and Trees will happen in 2014 again, and we hope to see as many of you as possible.
It's worth noting that you are a wine expert as well. You are.
I enjoy it, and I know a lot about it. So,
I enjoy it.
Yeah, somebody in this room bought the wine tasting in-home event, so we're looking forward to having that at their house.
Yes, we
did.
With
nine of their closest friends.
That's true. I bought one, too.
All of their closest friends.
We bought one from you, too.
Yes, you did.
I know.
You are the person.
Oh, well, thanks. I was somebody else, too.
Let me say that.
It's being scheduled.
Excellent.
I know that, yeah.
And if you don't have enough friends, just let me know.
It's all good. Whenever I travel, I think Amy's going to schedule it, so it'll be good.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Boy, we have a very special guest with us tonight. Alderman Sam Hill. Mm-hmm. First row. You know, Sam, you look different, not behind the dais there. And who's your special guest? We all know who this is, but
yeah,
this is. You're referring to me.
Rick Rasom. He just came from the golf tournament. He didn't place, but he enjoyed himself up there, I'm sure.
Oh, you were out at
BMW Championship.
Oh, you were.
Yes.
Were you? What were you doing there? Just watching, or were you volunteering?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Zach Johnson came from nowhere to win that thing.
Yeah.
He's an Iowa boy, isn't he? Or no?
I don't know.
I'm glad you focused on that. That's great.
Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Cool. Welcome back, Mr. Hill.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for letting me talk. Let Rick and I represent the Geneva Park District Foundation. Administrator McKittrick, Attorney Radovich, Clerk Landberg, and Assistant Administrator, that's a tough word to get out, Stephanie Dawkins. I found out that we're about 2 weeks late because I need to sell these tickets by Saturday. But this group has always been very good in the past for the Park District event when I was able to sell some Cowchip Bingo tickets. We're not having Cowchip Bingo anymore. We've cleaned up our act, and I think that's beneficial. But the Park District is hosting the fall event this Saturday at Peck Farm. And We're going to have hay rides, pony rides, games for kids, lunch for kids and adults, and it's going to be quite an exciting event. Most of the events have been paid for by local merchants and contributions from local people, local residents, and even some businesses and companies that are not existing right here in Geneva, but we really appreciate it. Another way that we're helping to finance the program is through our listing of the various events that are available for sale. And you have received a little flyer, where is it? Right here. That's listing all of the events that are available for $5 a chance. And what you need to do is to contact the Park District or myself by Saturday morning and make a decision with your spouse as to what you want to take a chance on and contribute your $5 or more if you want to take more than one chance, and let us know. I've got these tickets available, but they have them available also at the Sunset Rec Center, Persinger Rec Center, and out at the Peck Farm itself.
And they're also available online, too.
Yes, right. And that email address is, let's see, I've got it written down here somewhere. Do you know it?
It's GenevaParks.org/foundation, and there should be a link on that page to the basket raffle. If you go to the main Geneva Parks page, there's a section there for the foundation.
Great, thank you. So what we'll be doing is taking the ticket stubs or the information that you've provided along with your $5 bill and put it in the baskets for each one of these various events that you see listed. We'll have a drawing at about 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon and start to announce the winners that late afternoon and evening. So hopefully you'll all have a chance to win something that you desire. And the main thing is it's going to be an autumn fair with all kinds of things for kids to do. And it's going to be quite exciting. We'll have some good food there again, as we always have. I think this year we have pulled pork sandwiches available.
Yep, you know, this year that's new for the menu, yeah.
That's a big draw. So if you can come out and have fun with your kids, your grandkids, or if you don't have an opportunity to do that, if you can help us by buying a ticket, and we'll put it in a basket for you, and hopefully we'll draw your name. Are there any questions?
You don't have to be there to win.
Correct, you don't. You know,
and there's some good raffles there too.
Yeah.
There's an RV for a weekend. You can throw out the first pitch at the Cougars game, which I don't even think the mayor has that honor. So
no, never. I can't even get in the stadium. So if I buy 10 tickets, hypothetically, I can put them all in one basket.
You can.
Sure.
Okay.
$5 a ticket.
Well, I know that.
Sure. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
It's going to be a big event and a lot of fun. And one thing the Park District has and the foundation is helping to support coming up in October is our outdoor resources.
Hawks Hollow,
it's called.
Okay.
Kids will be able to actually crawl inside of a bird nest. We've made bird nests large enough for kids to be able to crawl inside. That's really going to be some good nature education for the children of the Park District and the area. So are there any other questions? So either catch me and I'll come find you and we'll negotiate the sale of the ticket, and there'll be no negotiations, though. Or contact the Park District itself at the various locations where they have offices.
Sam, if I may, how many tickets have you sold that have won over the years?
Probably 5 to 8.
So there you go. Buy them from Sam.
Wait, can I answer that question?
Okay.
Zero. Sorry.
Oh. Well, are you just starting out?
No, I've been on the Park District for 3 years, but I have sold. Actually, Bob Cox won the
You did.
It was a skybox for like 20 people last year.
So. Wow. Wow, cool.
At the Cougars.
Anything else? Any questions or comments for these fine gentlemen?
I'll be around for a little bit, but I have to get up awful early tomorrow morning, so I'm going to split before 9 o'clock.
So are we.
Yeah, good.
Thank you,
okay,
guys.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sam.
Thank you.
Sam.
Number six. I've already bought some over at Sunset. Number six.
We have the pleasure of a department presentation report by our economic development team. We have Ellen DeVita, our director of economic development, with us this evening. I know she has some special guests in the audience as well. Hello, Ellen.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Paul Evans is here with me also. And Paul helped me with the PowerPoint. He did all the mapping that you'll see in here, and I thank him for that. Okay. When I was kind of narrow in on some of the stuff that we do, namely working with prospective businesses, but the biggest part of that really is creating the product. So I wanted to, the main thing I'd like you to walk away with today is a sense of what we have as product for potential businesses as they look to locate in the city. And I'm going to go kind of fast, okay? I have a lot of this mapped. But first off, on your desk, I put a copy of the retention and the recruitment program that we follow. This was something you adopted in 09, so just as a refresher. And Mary always likes everything to be really laid out so everyone can see it, and so it was a written policy for you. But the main thing in recruitment is knowing what we have. So that's our inventory of available sites. The department is myself and Paul full-time, and then Jamie is part-time, 19 hours a week, and she works in tourism. Her salary is funded by the hotel motel tax, and we do all the in-house marketing and advertising. We create the ads in-house with Jamie's help, and then Neil Reeves is our intern, and he works mainly on database maintenance because knowing what we have is a database, the employers is a database. And then with all the statistics that we maintain, we have our marketing materials. You've all seen those. We just recreate them every spring. This year we sent them to all the banks and all the commercial brokers so that folks have them. I'll show you pictures of those in a minute. Then we do a lot of cold calling. We do a lot of networking. And I just want to point out we do not poach. We don't go into our neighbors because we don't want them coming here, and we know that folks are here all the time. It's just an ethical thing for us. We always try to seek recruitment retention first. So, because if there's a hole in the bucket, you can't keep people coming in. You've got to have who's here healthy. And when a need is identified, we're going to go to an existing business. For example, when Geneva Kayak left, we wanted to find a canoe rental. And we got pretty far down the road with Milray Cyclery. And then Bruce walked away from it because of the insurance. But we're always going to try and approach a business that might be able to expand their products. And then we're always seeking unique stores. We had a couple fashion merchandisers last year come, and I walked them store to store so they could see the product lines being sold. One of them, she hasn't decided on anything yet. She's been in business 15 years already in another community, but she was able to walk through and say, okay, I sell this product. I wouldn't be able to sell it here, et cetera, trying to complement what's here. And a big part of recruitment is maintaining relationships because economic development is human geography, who knows who and who's looking to expand. Okay. This is a sites report that we give folks. You can get our sites online. You can get it through our website. You can get it through LOIS, which is the state location one information systems. Most towns just put their industrial sites up. We put all of our sites. So it's a huge commitment to the database. And then if people call us, we give them a customized report like this. These are the documents you've seen before. The business resource guide is very important because it has all the contacts so that people understand our process and who to contact to get their utilities put in, who to contact to talk about whether they need a building permit, et cetera. So location considerations vary based on the type of business, and we deal with a wide range, as you know. The industrial tenants really care about the utility availability. Do we have enough water for them? How clean is it? What's the cost of it? And then the building structure itself. Are there the docks that I need? Are the ceilings high? A lot of our industrial buildings are obsolete. The ceilings are too low based on today's modernization. And that's something I'll map in a second for you. The national retailers also care about the building obsolescence. They're looking at the co-tenancy. Is there a grocer in the center? How is the parking? How they all have formulas. It's a very efficient industry. They want a linear footage. They have demographic targets they're looking for, number of households, income, location of the other stores. The smaller independent retailers, it's more about the price of the building. And then often we're talking to them about co-tenancy. Are they better at this end of the street or the other end? And we walk them through the options. And startups always require more assistance than the national retailers. So when we're dealing with the independent retailers, which gets a lot of play because we have so many of them here, the first question, Paula, I always ask them is, have you operated a business before? And if not, we send them to the Small Business Development Center. And I have a typo there. My apologies for an assistance. We identify the zoning. We find out what business district they think they want to be in. We do the tours I mentioned. Then we'll walk them through. We'll liaison whatever they need along the way. And when they're open, we have our marketing resources to help them. When we see a big vacancy come up, we usually jump on it. For example, when we saw Thomasville, we knew Thomasville was going to close before they actually walked out, and we're in contact with the property owner. U.S. Bank on the east side, they were a little surprised we called them. They said, wow, we made the announcement 2 days ago. How'd you find out? Clem Martin, he told me the ink wasn't even dry in the building he had bought. So we try to stay abreast of the market and call and be first in line to talk to folks. Applebee's, we were the first community to call them and find out that they were leaving and they were closing 8 stores. When it's a national retailer, we have to identify if it's going to be marketed as a bundle, if it's going to be tied up in a bankruptcy, or if we can market the property right away. We've probably had 4 or 5 restaurant chains look at the Applebee's right now. Nothing is coming to fruition yet. We feel real good about when we talked to last week. We'll see what happens there. The broker actually lived in Batavia for a while and is actively seeking in the Tri-Cities. Okay. And then just some of the ways we market. We go back through all our past matches, inquiries. We go to trade shows. And it's who knows who. This is a sample cold call. For example, this one went out last week when we found out about the Thomasville closing. And you can see Paul's written, I noticed your expansion news in home furnishings business, which is an online magazine. So we're always looking at trade journals, and we're trying to identify who's opening, who's moving. We look at the ads in magazines like Chicago Magazine or Northwest Quarterly. We look for businesses that have more than one location. Because one, then we're not poaching, and two, it's a different business operator that has more than one location. They know how to delegate, and they know how to have people that are in their employ that they trust, and they don't have to be there all the time. It's a very different business. It kind of goes to one of the references Alderman Simonian's made about a hobbyist business versus a main income for the family. There's a big difference when it's a multiple operator. This is all the vacant property that's commercially oriented in the city, and there truly is not that much. If you start at the upper left-hand corner, you've got the 14 acres behind the commons. You've got a couple office available over at Brisher and 38 and over at Williamsburg as well. You've got an outlot in front of Gander Mountain. We've done a lot of work in the last year trying to find restaurants to go there. You're aware of the two sites downtown, Dr. Clifford's at 4th and State, and then next to Artemisia, 617 East State, soon to be vacant, the property the city purchased in the TIF district, and then the northeast corner of East Side Drive and State. And then you've got the stuff over at Kirk and 38, which is problematic because of the access and the cost of utilities. You've got the acreage around the ice arena and the Cougar Stadium, and then down at the jail site. Just some high-profile opportunities, and I want to impress upon you that whenever we talk about these sites, we always look at what are the adopted land use plans in the city. So if the city has a comprehensive land use plan that calls out a parcel to be of a certain land use, that's what we go on. So the policy documents that you guys create are very important in the work that we do because they tell us what the community as a whole has had a public process on to talk about what a site should be. Here's some of the higher profile opportunities out west. Downtown, the list is a little bit longer. The Mill Race, east of the Mill Race, the opportunity sites at Hamilton and 3rd. 113 East State has been sitting there vacant for 6 years, and it's that hill again. It's that slope going up east of the river. And the TIF, here's the TIF opportunities. This is from that brochure that we had put together that you've all seen. On the east side, I'm going to go to a map for this one, actually. Before I get into that, though, industrial space. We only have 7 buildings with vacancies in it for industrial. So that's why we've got that 4% vacancy, and half of that is in one building. It's in the 2080 Gary Lane building. This is the available industrial properties, and you'll see the actual buildings in blue, and then you'll see vacant land in purple. And then the stuff in yellow, I just want to call this out to you. This is on all our plans, and it's zoned as commercial, but the reality is the marketplace would probably have some interest in taking some of that industrial. That stuff could go either way. And some of that shows up on the Southeast Master Plan with an alternative use. But right now, the zoning and the comp plans all call for those to be commercial. Okay, so I want to talk in one example, just kind of narrowing it down. We hear a lot about we should have bring a new grocery store to Geneva. So what if a new grocery store wanted to come? Where would we put them, given what you just saw for sites? Coincidentally, there was a Cranes article today that I put on your desk that talks about the high-end and the low-end grocers are who are looking right now. If you're a large grocer, for example, like Mariano's, they need a 7-acre minimum and a 70 to 80,000 square foot store. And we actually did contact them when they first entered the market, and then Paul and I spoke to the broker actually within the last month again. We're on their sites, but we're not in their immediate expansion. When we look at where a grocer would go, though, we always have to look at where they are now. So this is some of the stuff that we do when we're doing our research. This, for example, is where all the Mariano's right now. You can see how they start to cluster and then they move out geographically. This is where they began. And usually the big nationals are going to start at Orland Park, Schaumburg, Arlington Heights. There's a few cities that are considered the heavy hitter retailers in the area, and most of the big guys start there. But a smaller grocer, like we've often had cry for downtown, usually needs about 2 acres minimum because they need, based on our parking code, 100 parking spaces. We've probably had 5 or 6 of the boutique-y grocers look at us in the last 2 years, and they walk away because we don't have anything on Route 38, just so you're aware of that. In the Mariano's case, this is all the 7-acre potential commercial sites in the city, and there isn't much to choose from. So, because if you look on the east side where they all are, if you think about, they're looking at a demographics in a concentric circle, it's all empty space on both sides of the city. But it's kind of interesting to look at the differences. This is a demographic comparison if you take the intersection from the Commons versus the intersection at Fabian and Kirk. When you're at a 1-mile ring from Kirk Road, you've got only 700 people. At the Commons, you've got 9,000. So I don't let the numbers talk for themselves. Can you see them all? The interesting thing is that at the 10-mile mark, it kind of evens out, at least on income, even though there's a lot more population to the east. So. This is the stuff that the commercial brokers all look at when they're choosing. I want to show you something else, though. This is all the grocery sales from around us. And you can see in blue where Geneva, Batavia, and St. Charles has peaked. And that's because these other towns have all had new grocery stores come in. So folks that used to travel to the Tri-Cities to buy their groceries now groceries can now stay closer to home. And this is something that we're facing. This is why you've seen the Dominick's close and some of the stores up in St. Charles. Because at the end of the day, if you look at total market, it's staying pretty consistent, that right-hand column, but it's just spreading differently among the cities. So if the press that's here tonight has any story to take away, please let the world know we'd like another grocer in Geneva, and we'd like one downtown. I appreciate the publicity.
I know that I've been to another city where they have the grocery stores on the second floor and the parking underneath. Has any grocer actually thought of using that concept in a tighter space somewhat?
Have you seen that outside of Lincoln Park or some of the more dense?
No, actually it was in Florida.
In Florida?
Actually it was in Florida, yeah. And it was in a smaller community. And it was concentrated in a populated area, but mm-hmm. this helped, you know, with the parking situation, with the two acres that you were mentioning. So I just wondered if grocers look at that as an option, or do they just kind of...
Whole Foods did it in Evanston. They've done, Target's been known for two-story stores, as Dominick's has done a couple in the city.
This was a Publix, yeah, so.
Yeah, I, if you give me the town, I'll look into it, but it's still kind of infrequent here in the Midwest that I'm aware of. Paul, do you have anything to add? Okay. Should I move on? Have you seen this slide?
Ellen, what classifies a grocer as being a boutique grocery? What? Is it the size? Is it the quality of products they sell?
Or? Fresh Market is a boutique grocer.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be.
It's fresher. It's small. If you think about Fresh Market, the shelves don't have everything on them that you find at a Dominick's or a Jewel. Mm-hmm. It's a more narrow. There's a lot of entertainment-oriented foods, a lot of fresh foods okay. ready to prepare or just heat up when you get home.
All right.
Okay. All right. So... that's what we're working with. Mary and I talked, and I thought I'd put this out here just so that you know in the future some of the things we're going to be coming to talk to you about is going to be incentive tools, the council's appetite. Things have changed. Our current strategic plan says use them. That plan is something we're about to update, and we're going to revisit your appetite on that given today's climate. Some of the ways we can do that is through TIF district or business districts. And I've already mentioned the importance of the long-range planning in the city codes. Anything, Mary, that I should mention besides this?
We'll have more details on that.
Yeah, and one of them will be in the policy meeting. I'm just going to throw one more slide up to show you. This is kind of interesting. As we've been researching some stuff for you to look at for incentives, I'm always challenging my staff, where are we spending our time? Are we spending our time on things that really bring things back to the city? For example, manufacturing jobs have benefits that are usually twice the benefits you'll find in a retail job, and they're higher wages and this and that. This is really interesting. This breaks the city up geographically, and you can see what percentage is our sales tax and our EAV by looking at just the TIF district, the downtown, the core of the commons, the surrounding commons. And then I'll call it the South Randall retail. It's 30% of our retail dollars, our sales tax dollars. So we always think about where we're spending our time. And we obviously we spend a lot of time downtown because it's very important to us. But downtown is a fraction of the revenues that create the sustainable stream to fund city services. So, okay.
Can you please send us a digital copy of your slides?
Sure.
Thank you. Some of them require thinking a little bit.
Okay. I wouldn't expect anything less from you. Okay. Thank you.
Any questions or comments for Ellen?
Yes,
I do. Great presentation. Yes, Mr. Singer?
Reading over this report, I noticed there was an indication that a grocery store in a downtown area is a very primary moving force for generating businesses and what have you. Mm-hmm. There has been some discussion over the number of years that I've served on this council that we would like to see a grocery store find itself over on 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any indication that someone has shown an interest in that?
Well, the irony is that all the grocery stores were once downtown.
Yes.
And then they moved out to 7th Street, which was the edge of town.
Yeah.
And then they moved out to Randall, just the natural progressions of our urban history, you know, how the town has been built up. We've probably had 5 or 6 boutiques come. We've shown them the U.S. Bank site, which was okay. once a grocery, and they just have, there's easier fruit. There's lower hanging fruit for them to grab,
mm-hmm.
and they've indicated they would prefer a State Street location.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you've got Savoy Liquor, you've got the Eklund Plaza, you've got Ace Hardware. Those are the places where, you know, you could conceivably put one.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Thank you, Ellen. Our items of business for tonight's special committee of the whole meeting, item 3A. Recommend approval of special committee of the whole minutes from August 17th, 2013.
So move.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Flanagan. Any questions or comments? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 3B is to recommend approval of Phase 2, Ehlers and Associates contract for downtown business district plan in an amount not to exceed $12,300.
So.
Motion by Maladra.
Second.
There's a second by Simonian. Simonian.
Perfect.
Perfect. Just like it sounds.
Just like it sounds.
Questions or comments? We do have the our distinguished guests with us this evening as well. Ellen, do you want to add something?
I wanted to thank the committee for having a special meeting. One of the reasons we have a special meeting tonight is because Maureen is going to be traveling, and she'll be out of town the next few cycles we had for a cow.
Well, Maureen, where are you going?
Okay.
Fantastic. And this is not, well, it is germane. Please note that on the council agenda, this matter is on the agenda, but it will not be considered this evening. So that's going to be removed later. So on the off chance you think of jumping right to the council, it's not. So any questions at all for our guests regarding the report, the very good report that was put together? Alderman Marks?
My question, I guess, is this. I don't know if it's on the report or if it's on, The question here is for the new contract, is my understanding.
That's correct.
And I guess my question is this right now, is it looks like the funding for this downtown area district to do anything in it is based upon sales tax. Is that correct? Is that the only funding for this kind of a project, or?
Are you talking about funding to pay Ehlers?
No, the funding to move forward if we adopt this. My question is really getting down to this. If that's the only funding, and I guess I tossed this out to the committee, should we be discussing if we really have the intestinal fortitude to have a sales tax before we spend another $12,300? I'd hate to get all the way down and have a plan put in front of us and then we don't have the will or want to raise that sales tax in that area, and that I guess is my big concern with this right now.
And you'll recall when I brought this to the council in October of 2011, that was when I told the committee that the existing district was retiring, and if we didn't want to move forward.
Yeah. Well, faces have changed a little bit since then, though, too. And that's, I guess, is my question is, you know, originally we needed to make sure we could fit that we would have a district, that we would fit those requirements to have it. Mm-hmm. We found that out. I guess the next step here really is saying that, you know, we need to fund this if we really go much farther. So I just wonder if we need to have that discussion first, Mayor. And I guess I'm tossing that out really to the committee more than anything.
And
else.
We can let Maureen talk to her experience helping communities. There are two main powers that the district could give you that, and staff recommends that we move forward because it's an ability to fund the downtown master plan that's been adopted. And the Economic Development Commission has also looked at this as well, and Chairman Mann is here, and I would let him speak for himself. But I'll turn it over to Maureen. But there are two powers. One is condemnation, and one is the taxing ability. And in terms of sales tax, we are less than our neighbors. I will put that out there. And St. Charles, for example, has a 2% liquor tax that we don't have, and we are a lower rate than our neighboring communities.
But that tax is only within that district. Is that correct?
I mean, if the council,
be different, different areas of the city then would then have different sales taxes.
Correct, and that is an equity issue to discuss, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Maureen. And if I could trouble you just for the benefit of all of us here and, of course, those watching and the clerk, just your name and title.
Sure, thank you. Thank you for having me here tonight. My name is Maureen Berry. I'm a financial advisor with Ehlers and Associates. My colleague, Sid Edmund, is here with me. Ehlers works with local governments throughout the Midwest, Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We have offices in each of those three states. We work with them on their public finance and economic development needs. So one of the things we do is help communities assess whether business district and TIF are good tools. Those are two of our primary tools in the state of Illinois for communities to be able to generate new or additional streams of revenue to be able to pay for redevelopment within their community. So the business district tool, as you noted, is a sales tax-based tool. TIF is property tax increment based, and so when you have an area like your downtown, which is a very heavy sales tax generator, the business district tool has the potential to be able to generate a new stream of revenue to be able to pay for some redevelopment projects, be it infrastructure projects within your downtown or be it incentives for development to take place in areas where you may be struggling to be able to pay for things with the city's existing sources. So as you noted, you can apply a business tax as an additional 1%. If it were to be used, it could be passed in increments of a quarter percent all the way up to 1%. So you can do that as your in addition to your normal municipal sales tax, which is about 1%, so you could do an additional quarter, 50%, 75%, or a whole up to a whole percent of that proportion of your municipal sales tax. You could also pass a hotel or motel sales tax, which is a separate one, but those would be two options for you to consider. You do not have to pass the sales tax to have a business district. As Ellen noted, there are a few other reasons to do it, but generally when a municipality considers a business district, they're doing so because they want to take advantage of the sales tax opportunity that it affords. So I have more, but I don't want to go beyond my time here, so if you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Yeah, we're on kind of an unusual mm-hmm. plane because, of course, we're discussing the contract.
Right.
But we're also discussing some strategies above and beyond that as well. So we'll allow a little bit of leeway, I guess. But Alderman Flanagan, raise your hand.
Yeah, I don't know how I'll if I'll travel beyond the leeway of the questioning. But Ellen's chart actually showed that, what, it was 20%, 22% of the taxes in the downtown area. Would that increase the tax base at all from 20%?
Well, it would
from
be.
Your graph, you know, I picked that up as somewhere around 20, 22%.
Right now, downtown's generating about 20% of all
right.
the revenues. So there's two things. That pool of money would stay in the general fund. Anything generated by the district could only be used in the district.
Okay, so
it would segregate it out.
Uh-huh. If you expand that business district, then and there is the discussion about the additional taxes to fund it. What was the long range plan, though? How do you look at?
Well, that's what would happen next. Phase two is to develop the plan and build consensus on projects that the community would like to see.
But
I'm not sure I'm understanding your comment about
expanding
the district.
Well, it was just the idea. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, because we were looking at from the graphs that you presented prior mm-hmm. to this, it seems like the commons and the other area had a bigger chunk percentage. And if we're going to be taxing the downtown area that we're expanding, I was just wondering, would it be able to fund itself, in other words? You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that we're not exiting out of the district, we're just staying within that.
Well, what we would be doing is when you establish a business district.
Or maybe I'm not understanding it
correctly.
Right.
So. When you establish a business district, you need to set specific boundaries. So right now, you have an area you refer to as your business district, and that's what you use in terms of your planning and zoning. This is a separate type of, it's an actual.
But you're expanding it, correct?
Well, there is not one in place right now.
Okay.
For business district purposes, as we're talking about it tonight, this would
there
be.
There is no formal, I guess, description of the downtown?
Well, you don't have a business district per se in terms of the the definition we're using this evening.
Okay.
Okay, the business district you're using
expires
is
in November of this year.
Okay.
And this is bigger than the SSA that exists downtown.
That's what I was...
Yeah.
SSAs.
Yeah, the SSA generally does parallel what's in orange on this map.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's a interesting discussion because tonight, and Alderman Marks touched on it. I think
that's the major question for me is if we really don't think we're going to raise the sales tax, do we want to move much farther?
And it's a tough question to answer tonight because we don't know what the tools will be available, but I know others want to chime in. Alderman Flanagan still has the floor, but what I don't want to see happen is that we discuss strategy prior to approving a contract or determine tonight that the hell with the strategy and thanks for wasting your time, we're not going to approve the contract.
But we don't know what their study is going to come up with,
right?
Actually, we do. I mean, I've got the essence of what the study would say in the report. So we know we've done the analysis.
Well, I noticed that it says, you know, it can be blighted.
It would qualify.
It is safety,
exactly.
You know,
so we would need to go through the formal process of writing the actual report that would be needed. You would need to adopt some formal ordinances. You would need to have a public hearing. And go through the process to actually adopt a business district. But
we've taken most of the work already, is what you're saying.
Right.
So this is phase two, like you...
This would be phase two, exactly.
According to
you've given us a roadmap to some extent, but now you're offering GPS, is what we're pretty much doing.
That's a good analogy.
Okay.
Thank you. You didn't like that, Craig?
I thought it was funny. I laughed. I chuckled.
Alderman Milad.
Enthusiastically chuckled. I think the answer to Alderman Marks' question, you know, do we have the fortitude to do something about it? I think, to me, it depends on what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to identify the projects. You can ask me, am I willing to spend money? I'm going to ask you on what. I think it's premature to say yay or nay. So to spend $12,000 to tie that up in a bow and wind up with our, you know, list of possible projects and things like that actually validates and completes the money that we've spent up to this point. That's my take.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I was actually just going to ask, when is the public hearing? Because I knew that that was part of the process. So that's after stage two is finished?
Correct. When the report
so that because then we have all the details to show
exactly.
The public to decide pro or con.
It's actually during the process of stage two.
Okay, thank you. That was.
But after the report is presented, I mean, yeah. Anyone else on the contract itself? I would echo Alderman Malodra's comments. I thought those were right on target. Anything else, Maureen, you'd like to add or?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Ellen?
And I would point out that the downtown master plan had a list of projects in it, all of which would be eligible.
That's fine.
For example, angle parking on State Street. I'm not saying them in any particular order because there's been no consensus built. But you should have a sense of some of the things that you would be working towards because you've adopted that plan. So, and they are all eligible. So I just want to point out it is a funding source. For plazas, bike trail signage, bridges over the river, parking decks, angle parking, fire suppression, streetscape, stuff like that. Okay.
I had one question.
Mr. Kilberg.
How many hours do you project this will take?
Yeah, 30 minutes.
good question. I think in terms of writing the report itself,
I didn't find it in your document here. Maybe,
no, I don't think we put it
in
there.
Okay.
Right. Overall, generally, this is the phase one work that we did during this portion. We kind of apportioned it out. So generally, we would charge roughly the same, or probably less, because we did a little bit more work on the front end of this one. In terms of identifying some of the additional uses and this report that we don't typically do. So I think I can't say exactly how many hours, but this is work that would normally be done in the phase. There isn't usually a phase one and phase two, I guess, typically.
How many hours are involved in phase one?
How many?
And again, I'm not. I'm asking for an approximation.
Over 100 at least.
So you anticipate phase two will be less than phase one?
It depends on at what point we go forward with it. If we do wait a significant period of time, we'll definitely need to go back out and make sure that all of the criteria are still applying and as we've drafted it in phase one, but probably less, I would say.
Do you provide a log of hours dedicated to the project?
We track our hours, so we don't typically do that when we charge a flat fee. We went through a competitive process for the contract for this process, and I believe we were very competitive in terms of our pricing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to add, Mayor, that we had chosen Ehlers after an RFQ had gone out, and that this phase two has a component that is not always included. It includes consensus building meetings with the business community. So there's an extra layer in phase two.
Anyone else on the dais? We have a motion by Maladra, a second by Simonian to approve the contract as written on the agenda as prescribed, not to exceed $12,300. A voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Nay.
8 affirmative, 1 nay, and 1 absent. This matter will move on to, just for the record, a special City Council meeting on September the 23rd. Thank you. Item 3C is to recommend resolution number 2013-87, authorizing execution of restated intergovernmental agreement for Tri-City Police, Tri-City Police records between the City of Geneva, City of Batavia, City of St. Charles, and Village of Sugar Grove.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Second. Brown makes the motion, seconded by Mr. Marks. We have the Chief and Rhonda with us.
Good evening.
How are you, Chief?
Good.
Congratulations to your Bulldogs on a big victory.
Oh, thanks. It was quite a pounding.
Table this matter for.
I don't mean that in a good way.
No, I understand. Rhonda, didn't you coach him before he came here tonight? Oh, sure.
I'll just give you a brief overview of what this is about and where it came from. The consideration to approve this restated Tri-City Records, IGA. If you'll recall, back in 2007, this IGA was established to share the New World's records system that was used or being used by all Tri-City Police departments at that time for cost-sharing benefits and the benefits of sharing that data. There was a First Amendment earlier this year to add Sugar Grove. So that's how Sugar Grove got into it. I think it was in February. This restatement incorporates about four major changes in the following areas. The first area is incorporating GIS mapping data provided by the partners into the system and update the data as provided. Batavia has always done that and has agreed to continue to do that, so there's no change there really. It's just never been recognized in the agreement prior to this. So they thought that it would be a good idea, after consideration, to put it in there that that they are going to do this and continue to do this. So number one is something that we already do and plan to continue. The second area that it addresses is sharing data with other law enforcement agencies and permitting the parties to the IGA to participate in an IGA with King County for purposes of sharing data in a new agreement. And that's directly related to the next item on the agenda, which is the IGA that is being brought forth tonight between us and King County, again, to share data on a county-wide scale. Up until now, it's been police records have been shared between the Tri-Cities. And now the law enforcement agencies throughout King County hope to create a system in which all the police agencies in the county can share data as well, very similar to what we currently do on account on a tri-city level. The other two areas have to do with cost sharing, the changes, the method of sharing costs when it comes to sharing the data on a countywide scale. So if we do decide and it is approved to enter into this IGA with King County, there is a cost to us of approximately $2,400 that will be divided equally among the four participating agencies in the Tri-City Records Agreement right now. So at $600 per agency, we can enter into this agreement, and that'll pay for the maintenance of the software that county will handle. So that, because everyone is equally benefiting from that that data sharing, we will share those costs equally. The other cost sharing issue that's addressed in one of the changes is the method for sharing costs of upgrades that are needed as New World changes in the future. Their software needs call for changes. A good way to look at this is years ago we had Windows 2000, and now we have, you know, Windows XP and Windows, what, 7 or 8. If you try to use Windows 2000 now, it wouldn't be compatible with many softwares, and so you have to upgrade. Same thing is true with this New World system. They create and upgrade their systems, and so every few years we're going to have to make sure we keep pace, otherwise they won't support the software programs that we have. So, and that cost sharing, it's just being stated that it will be based on the use or the licensing that each department will have. So it'll be proportionate to the use of each agency. Currently, Geneva uses about 25% of the total cost. So we would incur that. St. Charles is a little more than that. Sugar Grove, obviously, a little less. Batavia is at 25% also. So those are the four main areas that are the changes to the agreement that we're talking about in this restatement of the IGA. And those changes are reflected in the copies that you have in the red print.
Questions or comments for the chief? Alderman Simonian.
Thank you, Mayor. With the addition of Sugar Grove, does this now make us the Quad Cities?
No.
No? We're still Tri-Cities? Tri-Cities. Okay.
Much to the chagrin of Sugar Grove. Alderman Singer.
Thank you. You indicate that there was no, the estimated cost, as you said, there was none, but yet you indicated that there's a share maintenance cost. Is this cost has already been part of your budgeted money?
No, this cost is not budgeted, but it would not be incurred until next budget season.
Oh, next, okay.
So we will not incur any costs related to entering into the King County agreement.
I see.
There are no costs associated with this restatement of the IGA.
I see.
But the next item on the agenda, the new IGA that's being proposed between us and King County.
Isn't there some way that possibly you could entice other communities to become part of this process, West Chicago and others, that the cost then could be?
Well, that's exactly what's happening.
That's the direction you're moving.
Yes,
towards?
that's what we're doing, and we are able to benefit by using this cost sharing method.
Yeah.
So for $600, we're able to enter into the system that may be able to allow us to share data among 12 to 15 police agencies right now are using New World. Theoretically, if this gets approved, we would be able to share data with that many more police agencies for just an investment of $600 next year.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Alderman Brown?
Just a note, I think the chief could say it better than I could. The TRICOM has already expanded. Sugar Grove is not the only extra contract agency that has been added to the three original Tri-City TRICOM members, but Sugar Grove.
Elburn is with TRICOM now. Mm-hmm. Elburn's not part of the Tri-City Police Records IGA, but they have commented that they may be considering it in the future, so I wouldn't be surprised if they would like to join our efforts, especially since it's since plans are to go countywide. They would like to, again, join in on that cost benefit, cost-sharing benefit. So they are also considering.
Thank you.
Chief, you would be remiss if you did not introduce your colleague.
I would. My subject matter expert for my backup, Rhonda Sales, is here tonight. She's our records manager.
A very familiar face to all of us, but yeah.
She knows everything there is to know about the New World system. So I brought her in case you had any really in-depth questions about the New World system. She would definitely be able to answer them. She is more knowledgeable than probably, or as knowledgeable for sure, as anyone is in the county.
How goes the system so far?
I love it.
Do you? Oh, good. That's a nice testimonial. That's awesome. Great. We do have a motion by Alderman Brown and a second by Alderman Marks. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 3D, which is quasi-related, is to recommend resolution number 2013-88 authorizing the intergovernmental agreement for data sharing between the City of Geneva and Kane County.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks this time makes the motion and seconded by Alderman Brown.
This is just Mayor? A segue to what you've just presented.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you. I just was going to recuse myself since I work for Kane County.
Recusing, of course, requires you to leave the building and grab us dinner.
Sweet. I'll let you know where I'm at. Any
questions or comments for the chief and or the subject matter expert, Ms. Sales? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? And there's one recusal. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Rhonda. Item 3E is to recommend resolution number 2013-89 authorizing and ratifying execution of agreement for purchase of real estate by and between the City of Geneva and Jane Frost, successor trustee of the Helen N. Liesendahl Trust, property located at 526 South 4th Street.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second. Questions or comments regarding this matter from anyone on the dais or anyone in the audience? Alderman Kilbrey.
Just a couple of questions. Are there any liens against the property currently?
Do you want to?
We don't have title information yet from the seller, so that would be a part of the contract to get
Okay.
evidence of title, which would show that kind of.
The second question was, is there second half property taxes been paid?
Yes. Okay. But it would show on that title report as well. But my recollection that I looked at that and.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, it has been paid.
Anyone else? Questions for either the city attorney, city administrator? A voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? The matter passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 3F is to recommend resolution number 2013-90 authorizing execution of fiscal year 2013-14 general fund budget amendment in the amount of $290,000.
So move.
Second.
Mr. Singer makes the motion. Mr. Kilberg makes the second. Questions or comments? From the audience? All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. New business for the Committee of the Whole. Anyone from the audience? From the dais? Motion to adjourn is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion. Singer makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. We'll take about a minute break before we switch over the tapes.
world if you have money.
Before we begin the council meeting, Alderman Hill was just to remind all of us to speak into the microphone.
It is very difficult for especially people over age 70 to hear some people who are not that old not talking into the mic. Please talk so we can hear you. Oh, thank you.
Also mentioned turn your mic on.
Yeah.
Hey? According to the city clerk. You guys are just mean, man. It's like our regularly scheduled city council meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno? Don Cummings?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Gene Kilberg?
Here.
Greg Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Here.
We begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I would kindly ask, how about that handsome gentleman in the right corner? They all looked at each other. That's you, big guy.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, class of 74. Shucks, five, graduate. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening from anyone on the dais? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved.
Alderman Singer makes that motion.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes that second. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Excuse me, 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 10 is the municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $567,841.18.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to that total can be found on the city's website in this packet for tonight's meeting.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as presented and as available in our packets and on the city's website, and that motion is seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions or comments regarding the bills presented? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Again, just for the record, folks, item 11A is not being considered this evening, so we jump to item 11B, approve resolution number 2013-87, authorizing execution of restated intergovernmental agreement for Tri-City Police records between the City of Geneva, City of Batavia, City of St. Charles, and Village of Sugar Grove.
So moved.
Second.
Flanagan makes the quick motion. Brown makes the second. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
And that motion passes with 9 yay votes and 1 absent. Item 11B is to, item 11C is to approve resolution number 2013-88, authorizing intergovernmental agreement for data sharing between the City of Geneva and Kane County.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Flanagan makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second.
Recused.
And Alderman Vogelsberg has recused herself once again, consistent with her action at the Committee of the Whole meeting. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
And Alderman Vogelsberg, you're abstaining?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion passes. Item 11D, approve resolution number 2013-89, authorizing and ratifying execution of agreement for purchase of real estate by and between the City of Geneva and Jane Frost, successor trustee of the Helen N. Leesendahl Trust, property at 526 South 4th Street, Geneva, Illinois.
So moved. Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Simonian makes the second. Any questions or comments from the dais? From the audience? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 11E is to approve resolution number 2013-90, authorizing execution of fiscal year 2013-14 general fund budget amendment in the amount of $290,000.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. Any questions or comments regarding item 11E? From the audience? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ian Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. According to my agenda, we jump down to item number 13, new business. Is there any new business from any member of the council this evening? Anyone from the audience? A motion to adjourn would be in order then.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Good night and thank you.